There are so many fabulous faraway places to see, such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri. There's so many exciting and wonderful places, mountains and jungles.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to Thought-Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark.
So why stay there when there are so many fabulous faraway places to see?
Dr. Diana Sheets with us, author of The Cusp of Dreams, as a research scholarship appointment in the English and History departments at the University of Illinois, and prior to moving up to Illinois to write fiction, political commentary, and literary criticism, she worked in sales and sales management in the metropolitan New York area. And let us say, Diana, hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. When we are dealing with The Cusp of Dreams, we are dealing with basically what everybody goes through on a daily basis to some degree or another in dealing with life as it is, no matter how brutal we think it is. It's called just move through and do what you have to do and not be affected by what the culture says.
And that's correct.
So let me ask you this. What caused you to, what light bulb went on that caused you to look at that subject and move with it?
To begin with, I have a PhD in history, and so I look at stories or narratives about the world around us, and I was in corporate sales in the metro New York area, and I was seeing what happens to people when they don't have a living wage, and the stories that they were telling me and the actions were really very they were very moving, very tragic, and they started to seem to me to tell the story of America as it is today. And I felt that if I didn't write the story, nobody was going to tell their narrative.
Let's touch on feminization for a moment.
Okay.
And let's define what it is.
Well, feminization is when the, by my definition,
sure,
when
please.
The world is seen through the views of, I'll say, motherhood.
Okay.
And so it's not being a feminist, which is when, you know, historically when a woman tries to compete with a man. It's when everything is seen as I'm a good person, I care about people, I love my family, I love my children, and I'm better than everybody else because I'm a mother and I'm a good person.
Okay, I think the operative words is I'm better than everybody else because, etc.
Yeah.
Now, let's touch on feminization as opposed to feminism, the feminist. Let me give you two definitions. If feminism means equality of opportunity, I'm a feminist, okay, even though I still love John Wayne and the Fonz, right?
Right.
I'm a feminist.
Right.
But if it's the subjugation of man to get ahead, I'm on the other side of the table. And I think that's where feminism started. And then we're talking about feminization. Those two words are so close. Do you find people interacting and mixing the two definitions together and missing the point?
Yeah, I think people don't understand the difference.
Yeah.
To me, ideally, to be a feminist in the old-fashioned sense is to be able to compete freely in the world for success. To be feminized is to want a kinder, gentler world where everything is around social justice and be nice and be fair and be good to your children and be nice to the puppies.
Yeah, you see, the adoption of masculine values by women in the workplace and just those adaption of those values, I've seen some very interesting things over the years. If you walk into a market today and you see a young couple, on average, not everybody obviously in general, that may be 20, 23, 24 years old, the guys seem to be a little effeminate.
They do. And I have to tell you, the worst part, though, is fiction. The literary fiction has become totally feminized.
Yeah, and the girls are tough. You know,
but, yes.
And I think what the problem with that is there's a lot of marketing. We see girl fights now, and we see all these things that go on TV, blood and guts and whatever. But the point of contention is a lot of the rhetoric and a lot of the promo that have gone to women about being masculine, some of these kids can go out there and get themselves hurt. When they realize and they come up against it in real life, it's not the same thing.
No. And that's, The Cusp of Dreams is looking at that. It's looking about a masculine world where in corporate sales, where there are bodies dropping everywhere, and in order to succeed, you have to have old-time masculine values, and the women become more like the men to succeed. And I was looking at Death of a Salesman, and then I was looking at Glengarry Glen Ross, and I said, you know, there's no women in the landscape of those two Pulitzer Prize-winning plays. And fiction really hasn't addressed what happens when a woman becomes every bit as aggressive and assertive as men, and if everybody's job is up for grabs. And how does the society, when it falls apart, what's the landscape? So I'm looking at gambling, I'm looking at child abuse,
sure.
I'm looking at all sorts of things, but it's all around the culture of work.
Oh, sure. And let's move it a step farther. When I happen not to care for Barack Obama, but there's a reason I'm saying that. And I happen not to care for him. And that doesn't mean that somebody else shouldn't. That's not
right.
That's not who I am and what
right.
I'm about. But and I did not like Hillary Clinton way back when. I never liked her. But if Hillary Clinton would have become president of the United States, she would have no longer been a woman. She would have been the most powerful person on this planet. When Obama became president, he was no longer an African-American. He was no longer a man. He was the most powerful person on the planet. And I really believe that women in the workplace, there is a very strong power there. And that power can be used and worked through and be just as potent, if not more potent, than men in similar situations, because they can be very aggressive, but you don't have to be masculine to do it.
Yeah, but I would argue, see, that Hillary Clinton and Geraldine Ferraro,
yeah.
who were the only two very strong women in the Democratic politics, were
yeah.
very masculine. And that Obama was really quite feminized.
Absolutely.
That,
no question.
Okay.
We're on
okay.
the same side of the
well,
table. But the point of contention is they were moving in to the position. And the position does not have gender, ethnicity, et cetera. That's where I was going
right.
with that.
Right. And my PhD was on the triumph of conservatism in Britain. And my
yeah.
argument actually is that I think the Conservative Party is inherently a Conservative Party, or the
yeah.
Republican Party, or in Britain, is inherently more likely to pick a woman to be a leader, provided that she embodies manly virtues.
And isn't that an interesting point where you would think in general, that the other party
yep.
would be doing that?
Yeah, but the interesting thing for me is when I looked at British politics in the late 19th and 20th century, what I discovered was that women were much more likely to be encouraged by the conservatives, and also they were much more likely to be fair to ethnicities, provided they could see from the third world that they
yeah.
were of a high social status.
Okay, but these are those stigmas that are attached. And if you
yep.
look like this, you look like that, you look like this, you're in.
Yep.
And that in and of itself would kill the ability for somebody who could be more potent, more effective is the word I want to use, and more effective in the same position. But if they don't have those particular characteristics, it's no good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got it. I'm with you. By the way, I want to go to literary gulag, and that's throwing it right in jail, and that's prison, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really what you would deal with, where there's so many people that if they write outside the box, they're not going to be accepted.
In today's literary marketplace, it's impossible. There are two factors. It's so politically correct, and the financial marketplace is so adverse that everybody has to think the same. Everybody's feminized. Everybody is writing about a moral virtue world that is a fantasy.
Now, by the way, I did an interview about an hour or so ago, and didn't have to say the who of it, but he said something about standing up, and I said, you know, at that point, you can distinguish the men from the boys, and I heard him cough and choke. You know, what is wrong with words? You know, and saying that does not necessarily mean that there's lack of respect for a woman.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I got that loud and clear. And I think that's the key. We have been so tied to words, so tied to what we're supposed to be like, that it has stifled pure and real creativity.
And not only that, the only thing that you can write about and be a great literary writer is your internal mind. And if it has no relationship to the world, it becomes feminized.
Yeah.
And so my culture heroes, if you will, would be Norman Mailer, Tom Wolfe, even Truman Capote.
Yeah.
Herman Melville, anybody who, and Solzhenitsyn, anybody who's writing about the world.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing today in great literature, and that's what's missing in literary fiction.
But that's the whole key. Diana, you can't write about the world, because the minute that
right.
you, if you do, you're labeled something.
Yes, exactly. So ironically, the only people that can write about the world are people who are writing crime novels, and then you're really constrained about what you can say. And so I wanted my, this, the cusp of dreams is what about what happens when there's the death of manufacturing and when people are no longer economically viable. So the closest recent description is really, I don't know if you've seen the film Falling Down, where and of course Michael Douglas never likes to talk about it because it, you know, it didn't make a lot of money, but it was a very, very powerful you know, fit portrayal of what happens when people can no longer hold jobs.
To some degree, anybody who watched that movie recognized themselves.
Yep.
To some degree, the other website you should have is the mental and emotional gulag.com.
Okay.
Because that's really what it's about. It is we have trapped ourselves in a position that if we step outside the box or we step outside of what we think somebody else will not like and we get stifled, there are so many people that truly don't get the advantage of the message.
Yeah, and the reason I named my website, obviously you get it, but the reason I named it Literary Gulag is because inside this jail cell called Literary Gulag is where I have the freedom to tell the truth and to write these essays about politics and literary criticism and fiction and talk about why great literature no longer exists.
No, by the way, politics is fiction today.
Yes.
No, totally. It's scripted, it's rehearsed, and there are characters and there are scenarios that are acted out. Absolute fiction.
You know, I've gotten a lot of interviews because I did the narrative of the McCain-Obama run, and I was just recently interviewed by the National Journal, Will England, about narrative, and he wants it to go away, and I said, it's not going to go away because people identify with the emotional, personal stories of the candidates. That's how both sides are running the election, and it's here to stay.
No question about it, what was that? I saw Obama was having some problems in the last couple of days, and he was losing, the popularity vote, and what he had said, which is very interesting, he said for the minorities, African Americans and youngsters and women, get behind him to do so on and so on.
Yep.
And what he didn't say was look at the separation that he did.
Yep.
And it's the division, and we're that ties that emotional point that you're talking about. And
well, he's got a very smart team, and I don't know whether it's going to succeed, but they certainly know how to play hardball, and that's what they're trying to do.
By the way, let's up it a nanny. He has a brilliant team. because when you think about it, not that I agree with what goes on there, but look at the effect that it's having on an audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, yes, for that, he gets kudos in 100%.
We'll see. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in November, and then it will be very interesting to see whether he can get reelected.
Oh, I think he's going to get killed, and one of the reasons I think he's going to get killed is this. He offered things to people. There were people who put what their problem is on the solution that he had to offer, and that's not necessarily what he said. He used universal statements.
Yep.
And because of that, they are starting not to get what they thought they were going to get.
And they're playing Chicago politics, and it'll be very interesting to see if they can transcend the cronyism of Chicago and hold their national audience.
Oh, absolutely. Look at what's going on now. Somebody was talking about how wonderful Michelle Obama was, and I don't want to get away from subject here or topic, but she lost her lawyer's license, her legal license, and that whole mess in Chicago. But they don't talk about that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, by the way, you know who I would have voted for in a hot minute?
Who?
Condoleezza Rice.
Yep.
Oh, I like that woman. She knew better than to get into politics. That was not for her.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's very hard for conservative African-Americans to find a platform, and that's very disappointing to me because if the Republican Party wants to continue to be viable, they've got to go after a really bright, capable African-Americans, Hispanics, Asians, you know, the whole bale of
rocks. Now, by the way, I've been around this planet for a lot of years now, and let me tell you what I've realized in all of the years on radio, doing interviews, and so on and so forth. The one thing that I've realized and I've come to the conclusion of is this, that poverty, disease, and anything that's debilitating in any way, shape, or form, physically, emotionally, intellectually, whatever, is a product today.
Is a what?
It's a product.
A product?
They make money out of it. It's a selling item.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, look what they're doing with racism today.
Yeah, that's feminization, and that's all part of the culture of be fair, be nice, be good, be virtuous. But virtuous is defined defined not by excellence, but by helping every broken human being on the face of the earth.
And if you want to know what's going on right now, you go to Alinsky's manual and you go step by step,
yep.
and you can see it all there. I mean, right down to the letter.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Hey, let me say this. We're running out of time, and I think you're absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being here. Now, website we can find you at.
It's a Literary Gulag. And you can just also Diana Sheets, and you'll find Literary Gulag, or the university also carries that Literary Gulag on the Ideals website.
Dynamite. Diana Sheets, hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care. Good night.
Bye-bye.
I can only give you love that lasts forever, and the promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone, that's all, that's all.